Let's get it.
In the city, we gon' slide, bet I be there pronto.
Me, my guys, we really live. Lord, forgive me, pay my tithes. Please don't have me reach inside in the center console. Keep the semi when I ride, lit off Henny when I drive. In the city, we gon' slide, bet I be there pronto.
Bet I be there pronto, as in right now, as in this evening, as in this is the Chop Up Show. What's good with y'all? It's your girl, Toya G. Blessed to be with y'all another Thursday night with y'all, with my brothers. We on here just having a good time, about to talk about a couple different things happening around us. As y'all can see, my name is Toya G right there at the bottom. If not following that page and you just want some encouragement, some push, some boost, go follow me at Higher Definition LEC, just like your TVs, just like your phones, like your cameras. Higher Definition LEC on Instagram, or Toya G HD, just like I spelled it right there. Just throw the HD on the end and follow me over on TikTok. Let's talk to me. But I'm not alone. I'm with my brothers. Who else we got going on up in here?
Not alone. Y'all know who it is. It's Damo, the political plug. Always here on these Thursdays. We sad that we missed y'all last week. It was like spring break. So, you know, we got to get our spring break too in. Y'all know how that go. But, of course, can't get let another week go by without hollering at y'all. So,
yes, man. And you know, George Lee, aka Consciously, don't forget the Lee. Hey man, it's been a hell of a week. Hopefully we get some good news soon. TheConsciousLee.com, GeorgeLeeSpeaks.com. Y'all know where to find me at, man. Looking forward to getting into this conversation today about politics, about Netflix.
about all of it. I started off with the snapshot. Real quick, two things I want to talk to y'all about real fast before we slide over to the political conversation of the night. The first is Netflix. I said it like black folks said, but we know it's called Netflix. And, you know, I wanted to talk about Netflix because it's been, I feel like Netflix is the, we know it to be the evolution of watching and taking in entertainment, right? We saw it from being, I don't know if y'all know, young folks, they used to send a little DVD to your house, you watch it. You get your little kicks out of it, you send it on back to them, you get you another little rotation of DVDs and things. So they say it's the mail, you know, Netflix, and that was innovative all by itself, but then they got, you know, became a streaming platform. They innovated what it looked like to have a streaming platform. This is the birth of Hulu, the birth of your Apple TV, your
Peacock,
Disney
Plus,
Disney Plus, your HBO Plus, your Showtime, all of that. Netflix, the grandfather. Now, Netflix used to be like $7.99, right?
Used to be.
$7.99. Everybody can have your password. Everybody go watch something. No big deal. They even made it easier for you to allow other people to watch. It was like, hey, make some profiles for your people to watch stuff. No big deal. Everybody get the stuff they want. Don't have to mess up what's in your queue. And then over time, we've seen the price of Netflix just slowly start to creep up. Sky high. I think it's like $15.99 now, $16.99 now, something like that. And so my question to y'all, and what we've seen in Netflix most recently is a lot of people are leaving the app, leaving the service. I forget the numbers, but it's numbers.
It's 100,000.
Yeah, and they're expecting more people to leave in Q2 when they do their financial report. And so I guess, first of all, have y'all left now? Do you have, are you first, because we know we share passwords. I guess two questions. One, are you the owner of the Netflix account you use? And two, have you changed your Netflix status? Are you rethinking it? Are you thinking about leaving? Have you already left? Answer those two questions first. And what's up with y'all in the chat? Tell us that too.
Hey, I still got Netflix. I'm trying to convince my, I still got Netflix. I'm the owner of the Netflix. I'm trying to convince my wife that we should just let it go. Today I mentioned to my wife they planned on doing commercials, and her face is like, but she's swiping down right now. She's there still, Netflix original shows that she liked to watch. I'm like, what shows you watch? Grey's Anatomy is everywhere, I think.
Okay. So you, the account holder, you still got it, but you want to cut it loose.
I want
to come back to you. Plug.
I guess my wife's name on it. You know what I'm saying? So it's our household Netflix. My wife's name on it. We don't use nobody else shit in our house. If that's the thing. But I ain't really a Netflix nigga like that anyway. Like, I mean, I have YouTube TV, so that everything that I want to watch, I just got it on DVR, and I can just watch it when I want to because YouTube TV got unlimited DVR. So I don't really pay too much attention to that shit.
So YouTube TV has like old series, has all the stuff. Are you saying it has all the stuff?
It's not what I want to watch. I'm not really a binge watching, like sit and watch streaming shit like that. So right. It got the shit I want to watch. You know what I'm saying?
So you wouldn't be worried about a world where Netflix was taken out of your possible queue of
not at all. Not at all. And to be honest, if we're being serious, like niggas take the Netflix shit way too far, bro. I think Netflix is I know we wasn't expecting it to go in this direction, but I have a Netflix rant. Netflix they made like shit way too accessible, and it leads way too much to like the entitlement culture that we have. Think about it. When we was coming up, every day after school, like for example, if I wanted to watch Dragon Ball Z, right? Every day after school, boom. Every day after school, like I know I got this 30 minutes, and then I got another day, and I can get it right. There was something that we learned with that, bro. That we learned, you know what I'm saying, patience. We learned how like delayed gratification. You feel me? Now we live in a binge watching culture to where it's like, oh my god, I have to wait until next week to watch my show. Yes, motherfucker, you do. It's good. It's exciting. You build up the anticipation throughout the week and all the rest of this shit. You feel me? So it's like Netflix kind of ruined a lot of shit, and now that that they gotta like take a step back, and like it ain't as convenient and as cheap, and that's why niggas is mad. That's what happened when you spoil motherfuckers, when you give too much shit at once, and then you be like, okay,
you don't like joy and happiness though, so we gotta kind of you don't like people to be happy all at one time. You want to space out for joy and happiness. Is a very weird relationship you have. Shout out to my big brother in the comments. What's up, Eric? What's good with you, my brother? I'm really appreciating you tapping in tonight. These comments though, other people, Josh, you know, dab yourself, my brother. Dab. Let me see. Deanna said my password is being used by my daughter's friend overseas. So, you know, they're getting traction and work out of the United States and over around the way. Melodious Rumble says I'm not the owner of the Netflix I use, but I only use it to watch my comfort shows from the U.S. So I mean, that's important. You know what I'm saying? When you think about your pieces of home that you have, like I don't miss Chiefs games. I don't miss it. I had to make hard decisions like Colin Kaepernick. I love you, dog, but I have not lived at home since I was 18. So I get my pieces of home wherever I can find them. And that was really my tie-breaking decision for continuing to watch the NFL. So I can understand how it might be rough to you know, just leave the streaming service if that's how you get your piece of home. Margo said, I have Netflix I pay for. I'm out of the loop on this topic and shouldn't be. I am told by my bright 15-year-old, no, you should not be, because you're paying a lot of money for a suboptimal service that's about to change and take more of your money away from you. So pretty soon, Margo, you could be deciding whether or not you want to cut Netflix's cord and move on from it. Niji Nissi says, thinking about letting Netflix go too expensive, and now they about to have commercials too. I'd rather pay for Netflix with EBT. You know what I'm saying? Like, Piriana, with some more expendable income. Here, the reason why this topic got really interesting to me is because I really honestly think about how much it's going to affect Black households, right? American households in general, because money is tight across the board in this country. But when we think about the kind of economic sharing we do, right? It's a lot of households without cable. I lived for a long time without cable in my household. A lot of people cut the cord because of how expensive cable is. And so the thing to mediate that and remedy it was supposed to be streaming services. And to me, Netflix is like the standard. It's like the basic. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to just make sure you got something, everybody with these little smart TVs they got a Netflix account they could throw on that thing. So I feel like for a lot of communities who, you know what I'm saying, are marginalized, who don't have the benefit of having and a Hulu and a YouTube TV and a this and a that, they finna be losing a lot of important things that we build community around, right? That we like to watch and, you know, have a lot of conversations. And, you know, there are other places. But I'm gonna be honest, like, I don't pay the extra money for a Showtime subscription. Oh, or adding on to my Hulu. So everything everybody talking about with Power This and Power, I miss out on it. Like, I'm literally, I find myself missing out on cultural moments. Now, I could afford it, but based on just, I have too many things to watch already. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't really need nothing else, like, honestly. But I think a lot about individuals who, you know what I'm saying, deserve, when we talk a lot about marginalized people who deserve breaks, who psychologically, who emotionally, who just are drained. And honestly, I was just like, man, that's about to affect a lot of different households and separate households where they got my password, you got this, and you got that.
But
a lot of people about to have to change their whole approach and add another bill that they can't afford. if they want to be able to be entertained. You know what I'm saying?
But before we move on, that's what this last thing I want to say is that, like, a part of the issue though is that that's what they do is that when they get you like gripped in like that, like when they attach themselves to how, you know, we find comfort, you know what I mean? Those types of things. It's like a drug. It's like dope. You know what I mean? You'll pay more. Like, yeah, like it's what it is now, but you will pay more. Like the attachments that you've created when you started here, the fact that you need this show to go to sleep, the fact that this is the show that you watch when you, you know what I mean, like them having access to it means that they can't, that they jack up the price and niggas pay that shit. That's like, that's the old, they're always going to have people that's going to be willing to pay that overprice, like the next level of pricing, even if it's a complaint, even if, you know what I mean, it cut into something else, whatever, somebody always going to be willing to pay that.
So y'all two have both said y'all are willing to leave the platform, not unworried or unbothered about being on it, even in the status quo. Do you feel like this is a bad business move for Netflix? Do y'all see them perishing?
Made a plethora of bad business moves. I think that even going all the way to like the Dave Chappelle shenanigans to now, I feel like they just made a lot of just bad PR moves that's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And just all of the price jacking with no extra features, like you kept on raising the prices, but when you raise the price, you didn't give me nothing extra. You just raised the price, and then now you're saying that we know you lost this money, and me knowing how ads work, like so you're gonna try to recoup the money that you lost by running ads. It's just like but you're gonna bring down the experience of your subscribers.
I mean, I go ahead. It's a smart business move. It's a smart business move. That's what you do. I always ask the question, like, Netflix makes, like, movie blockbuster-level production type shit. You feel me? Where else, they main source of income, their main source of revenue is fees. Like, what people pay to access the source. So, of course, it's a smart business move, but, like, that's the thing about smart business moves. It's like, it ain't about the comfortability of the consumer. You know what I'm saying? It's about the accessibility to their pocket. And like I said, when you got your comfort show that you want to watch, I know I can get you to pay more.
I mean, it'll be a lot to be seen. Part of me agrees with you. Part of me is just like, I don't see, especially at this time when all of you, because like George said, let's start back when we really start seeing, or let's highlight some things that really has contributed to Netflix's decline. They lost the whole catalog from Disney Plus because they allowed Disney Plus. I ain't gonna say they allowed. Disney Plus is gonna do what they wanted to do, but they lost a lot of important pieces and content from that deal. They've raised the prices 3-4 times in the last 2-3 years. They have a terrible tendency or habit of taking off shows that are really, really good that people like. After 2 seasons, so they go through all the work and all the money to pay this money for these pilots and these shows and then actually take off stuff people like. But then they also have a weird habit of just making terrible, terrible movies. Another thing that's really interesting about Netflix, I don't know about y'all, y'all confirm it or not, is I've never taken a Netflix poll. Like, what do you like to watch? What are you into? But yet, niggas is like, 97%, we think you'll love it. 83%, we think you'll, and I'm just like, how do you know these? Because whatever algorithm you're using to count, but whatever bullshit algorithm you're using to calculate those things is now leaving 95% of your library completely unbeknownst to me. Because who's going to sit there and scroll through all those things to figure out what to watch? So it's kind of like you playing yourself because you've never really tried to figure out in any tangible, meaningful way what I like to watch. You just keep showing me stuff and hoping it's what I like. I have no idea. I have my 16-year-old nephew come and hang out for the weekend. Now my whole algorithm messed up. You showing me stuff that I don't care about. Why? Because you're not having to ask me, hey, on the worst, slowest, most boringest days, what should I be showing you to make sure you tap in? And so I'm seeing the same stuff over and over and over again. And you know what that leads me to say? There ain't nothing on Netflix anyway. And then I go to move on to something else. So it's really, it's confusing what they're doing. But I'm going to transition. And Margo shouts out. And I saw somebody else shout out. The B word, whenever we talk about streaming, whenever we talk about the entertainment that we appreciate in our homes, we got to talk about Blockbuster. Only the OGs know about the orange and gold, what is it, the blue and gold. Only the real ones had a Blockbuster card. little laminated piece. You, a lot of y'all don't know nothing about
back in the day. Okay.
Yeah. Whole night be made. Go to Blockbuster, go to Little Caesars, go back to the house. You good to go. But I'm a struggle to let go of Netflix. I'm not gonna lie. I'm currently in season 6 of Criminal Minds for the third time. and so taking away comfort shows like that, you know what I'm saying, it's gonna make me feel some type of way. But like the plug says, maybe I need to be looking at a place.
Criminal Minds. So,
Criminal Minds, man. One of the best crime shows out here made on the planet.
I think me and the wife have seen pretty much every episode of Criminal Minds.
This is my third time giving it a run. Just let it run. You know, you can't tell me nothing about Agent Hotchner. Can't tell me nothing about Derek Morgan. You know what I'm saying? Penelope Garcia. Like, them is they just like.
Yeah, I got really kidding. I have no idea who these people are.
So there was
no
everyone would agree on the character, but we don't get, you know what I'm saying?
You know, like, I don't pay for TV. Criminal Minds on TV every day for free, but I don't know how to get to the regular channels. I no longer, my TV is a smart TV. Samsung TVs come with their own TV network. Samsung TV come with their own, like,
with some, with, I just got to say this. Samsung TV has a Wildin' Out channel that does nothing but play Wildin' Out.
Wildin' Out. Oh, damn, day and night. It's wild. Literally, no point.
But go ahead,
man. But Godspeed and Netflix. We're gonna see what happens to them. They still got more money for right now, but some things are subject to change. Let's talk about these masks. A big decision was made. A federal judge in the state of Florida, I believe, made the decision to repeal the mandate on masks on all public transportation. So this week, we've seen a bunch of announcements, a bunch of videos. And conversations generally about the rolling back of this policy. What caught people off guard the most was not necessarily that it happened, but that a lot of people were announcing this mid-flight. Flight attendants were taking jolly and glee in it, which created kind of hostile environments because they like, hey, we just like to let y'all know in the middle of the flight that we've been on for an hour, you can take that mask off. You're free now. And so it has left and continues to leave a lot of travelers in precarious positions. LA County, I want to be clear, has made a very stark stance against it, has said, hey, here in Ubers, in buses, in trains and stuff, you still got to put your mask on. You still got to, you know, whatever. But things are still developing. Last thing I'll say about this developing story is today, I believe, another judge appealed the repeal of the mandate. So technically, that judge is trying to put the mask back in because they say that decision was made off of faulty or old information from the CDC. The CDC has since said with the 2 subvariants of Omicron that we continue to need masks to mitigate and mediate this particularly threatening season that we're in. So my question for y'all, my question in the comments, mask is still on the mind. Are you with it? Are you against it? Should we still be wearing masks in public? Should we not?
I'm with it, man. I'm with wearing a mask, but I'm with people wearing masks. But as somebody that lives down south in Oklahoma and go to Texas, a lot of us don't wear masks down here. I find that the mask talk, I find it to be very regional. I have the luxury of traveling the country a lot, and I find that depending on what state I'm in, shit, you know, it could be hella lackadaisical, or it could be like, you know, better have that mask on, you can't come here. So I feel like, you know what I'm saying, like, it's just really a very interesting place for our country to be, especially recognizing how communicable, you know, COVID can be, you know what I'm saying, especially me telling you that I travel. So it's just like,
exactly, logical, the hazards and precautions, plug.
So because I live in California and you're not gonna get more liberal than that, like Los Angeles specifically, we have like some of the more stringent, you know what I'm saying, like mask rules, like, you know, some of the more strictest ones. You feel me? So my experience is completely opposite from that of George's. So whenever I go other places, it's always like, is it as bad? You know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? Wait, regardless, I'm still operating off of that California mindset, so I'm wearing the mask regardless. I'm gonna be real, and y'all niggas may get mad at me for this. It's whatever's easiest. Like, whatever, I don't give a, like, I'll wear a mask if we need to wear a mask. If not, I won't wear it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if it's being mandated, then yes, I will wear it. whatever. Y'all saying there's some science behind it? All right, cool. I'll throw a mask on to be in whatever public area for the limited time I'm going to be there. And so I'm able to get somewhere where I can take the mask off. That's how I live my life. That's how I've lived during this pandemic, to be honest. Like, I don't care. Like, just can I do what I need to do without somebody work, like, getting in my face? I mean, I got COVID once. It was really, I wouldn't even know I had it if I wouldn't have got tested, to be honest. I was the type of nigga that didn't have no symptoms, nothing like that. So for me, it was like, I really wasn't tripping. Whatever made my life easier. And whatever kept people out of my damn face. And then whatever didn't make somebody else's job harder. So if that's y'all rule, right. It's like, I look at it like,
I don't want to debate you about it.
You said what? Right. I look at it like a seatbelt. Like, I mean, I'm aware of it. Like, law say, I'm aware of it. It's simple. I ain't doing no tripping like that. I got a lot of other battles and other beefs with the government and the laws and other shit to be tripping off a mask, for real.
I don't know. I am still wearing my mask in most instances. I am very mask forward. I think my general pro, I still wrap it on the way out the car if I'm running in the store, if I'm running into whatever. I'm still very, let me grab my mask real quick. And this is in a place and in a space. I live in the County of Orange here in California. So the liberals that really, really, really want you to wear your mask and are very insistent and consistent about those things, I'm around some of them. But they're a little bit further up in LA County for me. Out here where I'm at, I was just in Huntington Beach, the place where y'all saw a lot of protest and a lot of pushback against a lot of these mandates. And I kid y'all not, at one of the most friendliest places in America, the Chicken Filet. Y'all might call it Chick-fil-A for short. I was in the line at the Chicken Filet, and this young lady was so kind, and she was so, and it was one of those moments where I was like, did you just change your whole delivery because I'm black? And then I had to realize I had this mask on and nobody else had masks on. None of the other Chick-fil-A employees, like they've as a company or at least at this private franchise have moved away. And a lot of different franchises I'm seeing are making decisions about mask or no mask. Because you go to a different restaurant and they got something different going on everywhere you go. But this place clearly not worried about mask at all. And so she was like, hey, how you doing? Like, I literally pulled up to her. She was like, hey, how you doing? I think she said Brandon. It's like somebody, she thought, because, you know, Chick-fil-A lines be crazy. It'd be like three or four weaving into each other. And so she was trying to figure out whose order it was. And so without looking at me, she said, Brandon? And I was like, no, Toya. And she was like, oh. And I was like, and I had my mask on at the window out of courtesy. When I order out of any drive-through window, I come to your window with a mask on out of respect for you. But also logically, if you ain't got no mask on and you, hey, welcome to Chick-fil-A and everybody else with no mask on, you might got a little cootie on you. So let's just put it on and make sure everybody's smooth. Just either way.
Either way.
And I must have got up to that window and I was in Huntington Beach. So I could not figure out whether it was because I was a black woman in this window, if it was because of the mask. But that's because that's conservative central. So it could have been any flavor, any scenario. Hard to kind of figure out. You know what I'm saying? So I think, like Lee said, it's very regional based. You know, you got to make your decisions about it. But for me, I mean,
Chick-fil-A headquarters down south.
You said what?
Chick-fil-A headquarters down south.
So Lee said, we do what the mask, we do what the government tells you without question, and a mask can't protect you. Scientists and surgeons have worn masks before, during, and will continue after in scenarios not regarding COVID because they want to protect themselves and have a barrier between themselves and whatever is happening in the atmosphere. That makes enough sense for me. So I'm not doing what the government is telling me. I'm not some puppet or some robot. I'm logic. It says things are flying this way. Cover your mouth up. Now the efficacy, the 100% mark to where they protect and provide me all the really not there. Clearly not there. I'm willing to roll with my 63% of protection. Hope for the best, right? So I want to be clear. I'm not a puppet and I'm breathing just fine. I work out in masks to this day, an hour and 15 minutes. Hard cardio, stronger than a lot of people I run into in public on a regular basis. Work out harder than a lot of niggas I see walking down the block. Ain't stopping no shit. You know what I'm saying?
But I also think though, like that's just, it's a very, I'm going to just be honest, it's childish. Like if you're framing somebody's relationship to law and and the role that that the law plays and how people live their lives, and you framing it around whether or not niggas wear a mask. That's kid shit.
Nah, to me, framing
conversation about the impact that the law has on how we live our lives and what we're allowed to do and what's possible. Nah, like you're like people who politicize wearing masks is literally looking for something to politicize. As a nigga, I'm cool. I don't need that. I don't need nothing extra to politicize about the government. I'm a black man in America.
I just, I'm not like people.
Get shot wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, goddamn. Like, that shit don't make a difference. You feel me? So that's really the and that's really why I wanted to kind of just point that out real quick. Not just,
hey, Damo, their rebuttal was it messes with the breathing. After Toya just gave them the eloquent reason
To be fair, they said that before. I peeked it out the corner of my eye, which was like, and I've been working out just fine, so my respiration is good. So to be fair, they said that before I talked about working out, which is why I said made the comment that I did. But I just and you know. Go ahead.
If you don't complain about wearing a seatbelt, I'm not trying to hear shit about wearing a mask. Because your ass, wearing a seatbelt won't save you necessarily in a car accident. It could mitigate the impact, but it's not going to save you in a car accident. But the law still requires that you wear a seatbelt, and you can be pulled over and given a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. If you can't reconcile that with wearing a mask, shut up.
Also, we don't stop flying. When it's time to take a trip, you show up, you take them little shoes off every single time. You don't fuss with them. You don't tell TSA they suckers. You give them your shoes and your little bin and you go. We make all these decisions for a conscious and logical reason. And I think can you tell me why, Kalia, you feel like that is an inapt comparison? Because I feel like it's pretty solid. Seatbelts, like masks, are not 100% reliable. You can get into a crash with a seatbelt on and lose your life. The same way you can wear a mask and still get COVID and lose your life. We are talking about the mitigation. Mitigation meaning I want to manipulate the odds in my favor. I want to work to make the conditions at least favorable to me, even when they're not perfect. Right? So I want to do what I can, where I can, which is what we do every day of our lives as Black people, by the way, in a bunch of different ways, to stay alive. We're just going to mitigate the harms. They don't go away. We're still niggas in America. But we're going to do what we can to make sure we survive that day to day. This is what I wanted to get to in this conversation, because this is my fear. This is something I've been thinking about a lot with these masks, and I want to ask y'all about how y'all feel before we move on to the next thing. I am fearful that as these mandates get negotiated, as they get debated, as the non or anti-maskers get excited about these changes, that it will start to be criminalized to wear masks. And people who like to wear masks will be forced to take them off. It'll be blamed on things like being able to identify people and safety measures and things like that, because people are going to want to move away from COVID times and say, okay, now it's a security threat. People are going to want to project their politics on you the same way they were like, if you vaccinated, don't come here. Basically, if you're wearing a mask, don't eat here. It's going to turn into, if you're a mask, you're not welcome. So I'm interested in a world and in society that occurs in. Do you think I'm far-fetched? Or do you think that it's possible that we run into a world where masks will start to be criminalized as a fixture of our society, which kind of separates us from Japan and China and other places where you don't feel good, just put a mask on. I feel like it's overly politicized here to where in America it's going to come to turn into something else. You think I'm tripping?
If it's not like legalized in a way where you criminalize with it, I think that it'll be stigmatized in a way where they're always where it'll bring some type of disdain to your body that you don't want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, especially in places that are ran by conservatives that are able to politicize masks in a way that emboldens their base. Like in Oklahoma, I can see Kevin Schitt's really doing that. You feel me? I can see Governor Kevin
Schitt. That's not that man real.
Kevin Schitt's.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I can see him putting one of them moves, really doing it. You feel me? Greg Stabbitt, I can see Greg Stabbitt in Texas doing the same thing. Yeah. You feel me? Yeah. Like they just be doing shit just to do it, just to make the people that they, you know what I'm saying, want to get a vote from feel like they are being, you know what I'm saying, heard and listened to. And if they say masks are bad, we don't care about any of the science experts. We don't care about any of the surgeons. We don't care about any of the science, nothing like that. And goddamn, those liberal leftists are trying to push those masks, and this is a part of liberal agenda. Like that's what Kevin Schitt's and Greg Stabbitt gonna say.
I mean, and that's what, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't want to be forced to do anything. I want to be forced to do anything. I think now we're just talking about forcing in the other direction, right? The people who are excited about it are going to say, well, these are just the chickens coming home to roost. You forced the vaccine. You forced these masks. Now you got to take that shit off. I think, you know, one, logic is on our side. The reasons why you should be, things like vaccinated. Yes, I said it. Things like wearing a mask. Yes, I said it. Are just obviously logically, historically proven to be rooted in fact. The reasons you should not wear a mask, the reasons that you should make yourself or other people more vulnerable to it. I don't find the logic behind that. But somebody's going, these governors you just listed are going to find a way to make it make sense. Either way it goes, I'm sending peace, love, and light to y'all in all these different 50 states. And even in some of these other countries we got represented, because everybody's on their own time. And that's what scared me since the beginning of this. And this is the reason why we're still here. They're everybody running on their own time. Everybody doing their own thing. Everybody got their own plans, their own agendas, their own correct way of dealing with these damn masks and with this pandemic, which is why we're spinning our wheels. You know what I'm saying? But just let everybody, even if you're hardcore agree with it, my sincere hope and prayer for you is that you stay healthy and that you survive and navigate this thing the best that you can, the best we've been doing these last couple of years. You know what I'm saying? Because none of these answers is easy peasy. And I don't got the right ones for everybody's household. You feel me? But that's it. That's all for the snapshot. Let's slide over to the political plug to talk about some politics.
All right. So getting over to the political chop, the first story I want to start with is really, I apologize for whoever this is about to piss off. Typically, it's some liberal who only views certain things as black and white and really ain't looking at the weeds of certain things. You feel me? But with that being said, I want to start with Joe Biden announcing $800 million in security assistance and $500 million in economic aid to Ukraine. This is according to Politico. They explain how President Joe Biden on Thursday announced $800 million package of security assistance to Ukraine to further augment its ability to fend off Russia's new offensive in the southeastern Donbas region. So we got $800 million that's going to them to be able to protect themselves, to Ukrainians to be able to protect themselves from Russia, which will include the package will include artillery weapons, tactical drones, guns, ammunition, etc. But the part that stands out to me, which is one of the most interesting, is the $500 million in economic aid.
$500 million, bro.
So with when we hear numbers like that as black people, $800 million in security assistance, that's you know, beefing up their military, but $500 million in economic assistance to Ukraine. And this is direct economic assistance, bringing the total U.S. economic support for Ukraine to $1 billion over the last 2 months. I repeat, over the last 2 months, the economic assistance that the United States has provided to
$1 billion
has totaled $1 billion. With that being said, given the circumstances that's going on in Ukraine right now, but also looking at the circumstances of black people in America, as well as the history of black people in America and the conversation associated with reparations. Most people view reparations as specifically being the government cashing out checks, while we typically see reparation efforts looking like shit like what they call opportunity zones or investing in, you know what I'm saying, in certain programs or whatever. So is it fair to have issue, right, to be critical of how the United States government is providing the amount of money that they provide into Ukraine during what they got going on, they war with Russia, while black people have been waiting for things like reparations, etc., to take place? Do y'all think given what they got going on, is that criticism still relevant?
I think it's still super valid. A couple reasons. One, this is the second amount of money, the second large chunk of change that was in, I think, somewhere over in the $12 million mark. Some ridiculous amount of money was being sent over there when we were first really understanding the contours of inflation and understanding the impact and implications of what was going to happen with gas prices and stuff like that.
It was in the hundreds.
Huh?
It was in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah. And so I tried to be nice. And it was worse. And so here we are again. And so I just I don't get it. And this is a part of politics where it's like, maybe I just don't understand, but like the brazenness it takes to feel like you're not accountable to your people. Like, why would you, you know, like they audit whole companies, or like even if somebody is over an organization in a position where you get to spend money, you can do that, but you kind of like have to justify some of these payments, or at least make sure it's kind of crystal clear that the bottom line is not being negatively affected if you spend money on this endeavor or this project or these materials or whatever. And I just, the level of accountability, like in our face, like you can get on and announce and do press conferences and make announcements about how much money you're going to spend. But no, at no point are you ever like, hey, America, I know this shit looks crazy. I know it looks wild, but give me a moment. Come pull your chairs around. Let me let y'all know shit is sweet. This is what we plan on the back end. I know it might seem like this, but we never get those conversations. And that's what's mind blowing to me. It's just like the disrespect, the gall. You know what I mean? Like, I, my mind is always blown when I hear about things like this. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's fair. And this is despite what's happening in Ukraine. I get it. But at no point have any nations made humanitarian gestures toward Black people. I guess they amplify Black Lives Matter. They'll give us some news on their front pages. You know what I'm saying? They'll make sure. But money is not flowing inward toward us. Money is not, so it's just, it's really weird. It never moves bi-directionally, and that's what blows my mind. And we get no explanation. What y'all thinking? Plug, Lee.
I think that we're gonna always get chastised for making things black and white, for seeing things so polarized. But I agree with you. I think that not only is it a fair assessment, shit, when we think about the money that's being sent over to Ukraine, it's like, hey, where that money coming from? The same type of fiscal questions that's asked when we start talking about social services, whether it's to Black people or to trans people or to gay people or whatever, we start being asked questions about who gonna pay for it, where the money coming from, who gonna put the bill. It's like, how come that same energy isn't applied when we're sending money over? I mean, but of course we know, you know, our past episodes, we got into how the rest of the global economy views Ukraine uniquely in terms of, hey, if this country is invaded, we view it as destabilizing the entire global economy, because Ukraine provides this much oil and this much corn and this much whatever. We see that that's always going to be a part of the utilitarian approach to say that, hey, these people right here being invaded is a tragedy. People over there being invaded, though it's bad, it's kind of tradition. I think that that's really how I see us, it being a fair criticism of thinking about how much money that come out of thin air when it comes to helping your European cousins across the globe, but when it comes to helping your fellow Americans that's not your cousins and look like you, you don't have that same energy. And I just feel like that is a fair thing to say. Now, if you don't see it as being fair, to me, it shows that you have a selective moral outrage, and you don't see that this criticism is a criticism of that exactly, a selective moral outrage.
There are not a lot of things that happen socially where we get to all be pissed at the same time. And I just really feel like, you know what I'm saying? This is one of those moments where as a country, we should be like, what gives? Like on a basic fundamental level, I don't even care what your political proclivities are. I think conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat, you should be like, this is something that people can really rally around and be like, this is suspect behavior. Like I'm literally usually with you on some shit, but this part don't make sense. Like they're just, again, taking that lump sum of money and spending it everywhere but this country should bother everybody. From on every side of the aisle, in the middle of the aisle, the people who clean the aisles, the people who get to walk down the center of the aisle, everybody should be pissed off about this. And that is what's weird. But I also feel like the nooks and crannies and the impenetrability, the impenetrable nature of the United States federal government, of the democracy that we live in, makes it to where we can all be collectively pissed. And that don't mean shit, because this group of people got to meet and this Senate session got to happen and this bill got to pass and this law got to play and these group of Congress people got to make these decisions. So it's set up so stupid and ugly, like who even gives a shit, I guess, about collective anger and frustration, because we can't do nothing with it no way.
When you add into that as well, just a lot of the narrative that's pushed for why we should be on the board for what people is saying in power is about like invasion being bad and expansion of empire being bad. And it's just like, as a black person, that's also, you feel, I feel like us three as black people that are hip to international politics and how America is the most invasioning country damn near in, mm-hmm. in human history. It's like, hey, we have some nerve to say that we're going to send this $1 billion over there to stop this country from being invaded and stop this country from being a part of an empire that's expanding. And it's like, hey, the exact thing we're saying that Russia is doing to Ukraine, which is bad, it's being clear, I want to make the disclaimer, it is bad what is what was going on with Russia and Ukraine. But I think mm-hmm. you have to apply with thinking, hey, this same understanding that Ukraine has, I mean, that Russia has for Ukraine, is what America has for Afghanistan and, you know what I'm saying, Iraq. So it's thinking about how can we make these stabilizing peace missions, stabilizing peace programs be a part of, you know, stabilizing democracy or spreading democracy or, you know what I'm saying, global stability or whatever word they want to throw at us, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I feel like it's a fair assessment to say. I say all that to say, to answer your question, yes, it's fair.
And like Niji said, the STEMIs is just the most sad, piss poor example of just in comparison to, look how much you sent out to everybody, $1,400, $1,200, $600 here and there. And it seemed like the pipeline just flowing. You know, it's wild. You know what I mean? Like, in our face, this is what they do. It's crazy.
No, it's also another unique part about this whole shit is that there's also a settlement plan.
I know what happened. Huey jacked that shit out as soon as he
off the chop.
It's been 45 minutes. You told them that we was gonna be doing it quick today. I took my nap. I'm up now. Time for you to get off. And I, you know what? I wanted to know what he was gonna say too. I wanted to know, like, Huey right there. I see Huey right there. Huey wasn't having it, dog. Huey jacked that shit out the way. Like,
So to be clear, it was my wife's birthday yesterday. And you know how women are with their birthdays. It's like all week. God damn it. So she's at a winery right now, and we kind of been with each other all day, getting on each other's nerves. Y'all know how it go. But outside of that, it's a settlement plan that Joe Biden has attempted to implement.
Exactly, Deanna. We go for the month around here. Starting my new 30 days, baby. What were you saying? Or I mean, even outside of this Russia component, we can kind of wrap it up and hit a pit. We lost them again. Okay, here is what we're going to do. Because the plug is going a game. What you want to call it, Lee?
Yeah, man, we can call it. We can call it, definitely can call it. All I say is that we should just be very politically astute to what's happening with these funds and be very conscious in terms of connecting the dots and thinking about, hey, how the energy when money is being dispersed in this way and how energy is given to when there's a potential for money to be dispersed that way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other things that I'm gonna have. I feel like we can go into one more thing he had.
They may not be time sensitive, so we might be able to just come back around full circle to him another time.
All right, now you come in, I'll make a picture and shit.
Yeah, but we'll put a pin in some of this. We started some political conversation. We'll round it out and kind of come back a little bit next week. But this kind of Russia conversation, big bread going out to them is kind of wild. So a lot for us to continue to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Because I think, and one of the things Plug we're going to get into is how deep of a hole Joe Biden started to dig himself in terms of popularity, in terms of certain generations and demographics latching on. So we're going to talk more about that next week and tap back in and just go from there. That way Huey can get the attention he needs. The Plug can get a break instead of wrestling and running around and trying to do the show and stuff like that. And we've had some solid conversation tonight. So big love to y'all. Thursday nights, every Thursday night, tap in. We're going to make sure this is available for you on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. I know it's going to be on YouTube. You already know it's on Facebook. So make sure y'all watch it. Before you leave, go like something, go love something, go laugh at something, go heart something. Do something like that. Make sure y'all subscribe to everything.
Subscribe.
You know what I'm saying? Because we love talking to y'all. You know, definitely love y'all. Kalia, Beverly, Zay, Micaiah, Micah. I think it's Micah. My bad. Deidre. everybody, you know what I'm saying, in the comments who've been hollering at us, talking to us all night. Niji, shoot, doggone. Tyler been in here cracking me up all night. So we love y'all. Melodious Ramblings. It's big love to y'all. We out of here for the top of the show. Lee, you know how to send us out.
Yeah, man, I know how to send us out.
Push the button.
I must have, man. This is, man, y'all on social media be doing wow, crazy, wow.
Mercy.
In the city, we gon' slide, bet I be there pronto.
Me, my guys, we really live. Lord, forgive me, pay my tithes. Please don't have me reach inside in the center console. Keep the simi when I ride, little penny when I drive. In the city, we gon' slide, bet I be there pronto.